Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Coming up later this hour, Alec Baldwin and Robert F. Kennedy Jr. together on fracking. But first, you've heard last night's election results. Indiana Senator Richard Lugar is out, one of the few Republican moderates. And same-sex partnerships are now unconstitutional in North Carolina, and not just marriage, but civil unions and domestic partnerships there, too. So what does this have to do with New York, you might ask? Well, joining us now to answer that question is our own Anna Sale, reporter for our politics website. It's afreecountry.org. We'll also get into the Massachusetts Senate race between Elizabeth Warren and Scott Brown. Hi, Anna.
Hi.
First, Richard Lugar, Indiana. Your headline, Tea Party Beats New York Money. Who's New York money?
Who's New York money? Well, when you look at who gave to Dick Lugar, he raised more than $200,000 from New Yorkers. And you just click through the names of New Yorkers and you see people who gave to both Republicans and Democrats over the years. So like Dick Lugar, these were folks who, you know, aren't afraid of bipartisanship, aren't afraid of crossing the aisle, but it didn't bring Dick Lugar to victory, even though he raised a ton more money than Murdoch did in Indiana.
Are there names worth mentioning, companies worth mentioning?
Not really. It's sort of what you would expect moderate Republicans when you look through. It's interesting, really, to just go look through the list and click and see who are these people and what are they giving to. Some give to George W. Bush, then Barack Obama, then Dick Lugar in 2012. So a real mix.
How much New York money went to Dick Lugar?
Dick Lugar got over $200,000. But it's important to note that the Democrat, who's now waiting to run in the general against Richard Murdoch, has also raised a lot of New York money. So New Yorkers are ready to play a role in the general.
That Democrat is Congressman Joe Donnelly, who could potentially pull in the moderate Republicans and independents. So even from a New York perspective, a state like Indiana could decide that this Tea Party candidate who ousted Richard Lugar in a primary might be too conservative for the state of Indiana?
And New York money will play a role in that, because what polls are saying at this point, the last poll that I could find was from back in March, and when you put the Democrat versus Murdoch, the Tea Party candidate, they were tied at 35%. So this is in Indiana. The 53% of folks said they didn't know the Democrat very well. So this is going to be a race that's going to attract a lot of money, because it's not just who represents Indiana in the Senate, it's who has control of the Senate.
And so if New York money is to play a role, and the New York money that you were just describing that went to Richard Lugar came from a lot of moderate Republicans, or people who tend to be kind of centrist and give to some candidates in both parties, you wonder whether that money is going to go to the Democrat to stop the Tea Party candidate from capturing that Senate seat, or whether New York money, these New York moderates might just sit on the sidelines.
Well, I think what's important to note is when you look at I looked at a list of the top out-of-state Senate recipients of New York money in 2008 and 2012. And what's interesting when you look at 2008 is, as you'd expect, Democrats got more money than Republicans. But New Yorkers were a big part on both sides of the aisle when you looked at the most hotly contested races. So remember, in 2008 was John Sununu running for re-election against a Democrat, Elizabeth Dole running for re-election against a Democrat, and Norm Coleman in Minnesota running against Al Franken. New Yorkers, if you look at the top 20 recipients of New York money, out-of-state recipients, both candidates in those races, the Democrat and the Republican, were in that top 20. In both cases, the Democrat got more New York money than the Republican, and the Democrat ended up ousting the Republican.
Huh.
But New Yorkers, Norm Coleman is not known as a moderate Republican,
right?
And so people turned out because that was a big race. And if you're a Republican in New York and you want to give money, you're going to give money.
Anna Sale from itsfreecountry.org talking about New York money in national politics. We'll get separately in a couple of minutes into the Scott Brown, Elizabeth Warren race. Definitely the marquee Senate race in the country this year, and so many people interested in Elizabeth Warren, whether from the Occupy movement or from Wall Street, who want to stop her. So there's definitely a lot of New York money going to both candidates there, and we'll get into that. If you want to talk about New York money in the various national races this year, or anything about Scott Brown and Elizabeth Warren, 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. or post to WNYC.org, click on Brian Lehrer Show. North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
By a large margin, North Carolinians passed this state constitutional ban yesterday on same-sex marriage and domestic partnerships. And I gather there wasn't so much New York money in play there. So even though people here tend to care a lot about the marriage equality issue, they weren't writing checks.
Yeah, I thought this was interesting. I just wanted to see, you know, we just had this huge legislation in New York. People were energized, giving money to get same-sex legalized here in New York State. In North Carolina, though, New Yorkers did not open up their checkbooks. They gave about just over $26,000, which was less than people from California and less than people from Washington, D.C. So still, you know, was in the top, but not a huge chunk. And when I talked to folks who were down there raising money, trying to raise the money, what they found was people looked at polling, looked that this was a southern state, and just didn't see this as a good investment, that there are other investments that could be made for states that have this on the ballot in November. And that was a more strategic place to put money. It's interesting, even Chris Hughes, the Facebook co-founder, who is a native of North Carolina, who was active when this was in the legislature in North Carolina, writing an open letter to legislators, he didn't write a big check for the coalition that was against this amendment, like for the ban on same-sex marriage.
Does he write a lot of political checks for other things?
He does write. He does write a lot of political checks. He's very involved, and that's part of his new brand, you know, as he's become a magazine publisher, but not in this particular case. And he faced some criticism for that. But when I talked to the organizers in North Carolina, they said, look, what we heard from Chris Hughes was what we heard from a lot of big donors and national groups who support same-sex marriage, that this just didn't look like a good investment.
Chris Hughes' new publishing role is that he owns the New Republic, right?
That's right. That's right. As of March.
So Keith Olbermann gets fired for writing a check to a political candidate, but the publisher of the New Republic can do it. That's because
right.
he owns it.
That's right.
212-433-WNYC. Why this difference? If just $26,000 from New York went to blocking the ban in North Carolina, but over $200,000 went to trying to preserve 80-year-old Richard Lugar in his Senate seat, what do you make of the difference?
Well, I think you have different, you've got, it's interesting because it was a 20-point difference in both Indiana and in North Carolina. So if you say the polling.
The result,
ultimately. I mean, Dick Lugar, it was not clear that he was weakening the polls. He was weakening as it went on. So folks may have given earlier and said, we just want to make sure that he's going to get through the primary, ended up not getting through the primary. But it's a slightly different issue. You're talking about control of the Senate. You're talking about, you know, trying to hold on to a moderate center in the Senate versus a ballot question where North Carolina, it never looked like this ballot question was not going to succeed. And that's one important thing to note is that this was on the ballot in May, not in November. And mm-hmm. that was by design by Democratic legislators in North Carolina. They didn't want this to be on the ballot in November when voters would be going and also voting on the president. So they didn't want these voters' conservative turnout to potentially swing North Carolina in the presidential race.
That's really important, I think,
because
yes. we remember Ohio in 2004 where there was an anti-gay marriage referendum on the ballot, and that really helped Bush carry Ohio very slightly over John Kerry. Democrats had enough clout at the state level in North Carolina to keep this off the November ballot in that crucial presidential swing state.
Exactly. So the question was never, is this amendment going to pass or not? It's which ballot do we want it on? And in the legislature, they won that victory to have it in May. So it's over by the time the November election comes around.
Now, one New Yorker who did weigh in on the North Carolina ban was President Bill Clinton, who counts as a New Yorker these days.
That's right. We'll take him.
And we're going to play 54 seconds of this robocall that went out to North Carolina households with Bill Clinton's voice, and listen to what his arguments are. This is fascinating.
Hello, this is President Bill Clinton. I'm calling to urge you to vote against Amendment 1 on Tuesday, May 8th. If it passes, it won't change North Carolina's law on marriage. What it will change is North Carolina's ability to keep good businesses, attract new jobs, and attract and keep talented entrepreneurs. If it passes, your ability to keep those businesses, get those jobs, and get those talented entrepreneurs will be weakened. And losing even one job to Amendment 1 is too big a risk. Its passage would also take away health insurance from children and could even take away domestic violence protections from women. So the real effect of the law is not to keep the traditional definition of marriage. You've already done that. The real effect of the law will be to hurt families, and drive away jobs. North Carolina can do better. Again, this is Bill Clinton, asking you to please vote against Amendment 1. Thanks.
I didn't hear the word civil rights in that.
No.
I didn't hear the words human rights. I did hear the words jobs and domestic violence protections for women, presumably heterosexual women, that they could even lose if they're not in marriages, but rather in heterosexual cohabitation relationships. They could lose domestic partnership, domestic violence protection under this law. I guess that's now a matter of debate that lawyers disagree on.
That's and both sides in this campaign disagreed on. It became a major talking point on both sides. Supporters of the amendment said that's what people are saying this to try to scare you against voting for this amendment. But yes, I think what's most interesting is Bill Clinton's argument and also Facebook co-founder Chris Hughes' argument when he was writing to legislators in North Carolina was this will harm North Carolina's reputation. This will harm the business climate because people will not see North Carolina as a place that is, you know, forward thinking and the new South. It will hurt his reputation and its ability to attract jobs and businesses.
All right. We're talking about New York money and the national races, particularly the ones where the votes were yesterday. But then we're going to look forward. Coming up in just a minute, we're going to add a reporter from the Boston Globe. Anna Sale is going to stay with us, and we're going to look at that very important race between Elizabeth Warren and Scott Brown in Massachusetts, how that's shaping up in general, and the role of New York money in that. And then we'll have Alec Baldwin and Robert F. Kennedy Jr. together on fracking. So a lot to stay with us for this hour. Brian Lehrer on WNYC. We're talking about the role of New York money in some of the national races around the country this election year with our Anna Sale, politics reporter for our politics website. It'sAFreeCountry.org. She's got an article on It's a Free Country right now about this. And also joining us is Noah Bierman, who covers politics in Boston for the Boston Globe. Noah, thanks a lot for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
So Elizabeth Warren is, of course, up against incumbent Scott Brown in Ted Kennedy's old seat. They've both gotten tons of money from New York. Anna, let me start with you on this. You know the numbers.
I do know the numbers. What's interesting, we have a list on itsfreecountry.org. You can look at the out-of-state recipients of New York money running for Senate and House, the top 20, both in 2012 and 2008. And right there in the top five, number two, Scott Brown has gotten more than $630,000 from New Yorkers. Elizabeth Warren is just behind him at the number five spot with $575,000. So what's interesting here is Elizabeth Warren has raised more out-of-state money than in-state money. But Scott Brown has actually raised more New York money than Elizabeth Warren has.
And you would imagine that Wall Street would spend what they could to defeat Elizabeth Warren because her claim to fame is that she's a hawk on regulating Wall Street, the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, et cetera, et cetera. So where's this other New York money coming from that's actually competing almost dollar for dollar with Wall Street's riches?
Well, it's interesting to look at, you know, you look at Scott Brown's returns from 2010 when he won in January in that special election versus 2012, when you look at how the securities and investment industry has given compared to that first run, and he's raised more than double from that industry in 2012 when he's likely to face Elizabeth Warren. So that suggests that maybe Wall Street's getting fired up about not having Elizabeth Warren in the Senate. But Elizabeth Warren has her own base of New York support, and it's not from the Wall Street givers, but it's from liberal donors here in New York State, and they've given her more than $500,000 so far.
Noah, over $500,000 in Elizabeth Warren's war chest from New York alone, over $600,000 in Scott Brown's from New York alone. How much total money is in this race?
Lots. So on hand, as of the most recent reporting, he had about $15 million. She had about $11 million. And a lot of his was left over from his special election, which wasn't too long ago, only 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. But he continues to raise at a very fast clip, and she is raising at an even faster clip. This is going to be for certain the most expensive political race in Massachusetts history.
And where's the rest of the money coming from? Are you tracking it?
To some degree, we've run some charts and some stories, trying to detail some of that. The Brown campaign has had a lot of fun with the fact that Elizabeth Warren has gotten a lot of money from Hollywood, and that people like Cher have gushed about how much they love Elizabeth Warren, and they've turned that into the idea that the elites from Hollywood are for her, and the regular people from Massachusetts are for him. So it's definitely being used, and now the Warren campaign has been using the fact that he has a New York City fundraising committee against him, and they called on him yesterday to out the members of his New York City fundraising committee.
Well, in fact, Anna, we had a caller a minute ago who didn't hang on long enough to go on the air, but he was making the point that New York money should stay in New York, and in fact, any race in any locality, there's a principle here that some people believe in, that if you're from New York, you shouldn't be able to contribute to Richard Lugar in Indiana or to Elizabeth Warren in Massachusetts, that money should have to come from their states. So is there an active debate about this?
Well, it's certainly clear that it becomes a political charge in campaigns if the other person can say, you're raising all this money from outside the state that you're trying to represent. And I think what's so interesting about the Scott Brown Elizabeth Warren race is both of them are criticizing each other for raising gobs of money in New York State. I mean, the Hollywood charge about Elizabeth Warren, and then there was also a fundraiser last month where she was here with Harry Belafonte in New York, and Republicans made a deal out of that in Massachusetts, and then Scott Brown is here on Saturday, and now Democrats are asking him, who are these people? This asking him to release the names of his New York Finance Committee, kind of with suggesting that he has this secret committee of, you know, Wall Street puppeteers kind of thing. But so people are raising gobs of money. Both candidates are raising gobs of money, and both candidates are criticizing the other for doing so.
It can leave a lot of people feeling disenfranchised, Noah, if they think that it's Wall Street money versus Hollywood money or some such thing.
That's right. Hollywood and Wall Street are battling over who represents Massachusetts. I mean, I don't know that that's going to be the central narrative throughout the campaign, but it certainly has been a big sort of way to rally the troops also for fundraising and for enthusiasm. I think that's another piece of it in addition to just going after voters in the middle.
Now, Noah, listeners here may have already heard about an issue that's come up around Elizabeth Warren. It's her bit of Cherokee heritage. What are her opponents taking issue with this?
This is a very complicated issue, although, you know, it can be simplified depending on which way you see it. But basically, she had been promoted by Harvard as a minority faculty member, as a Native American, and she had had listed herself in a legal directory as a minority for about a little less than 10 years, and she never had any documentation saying it. She just had family lore. Since then, there have been some genealogists to say that she probably has a 132nd relationship with Cherokees, but that even that's not confirmed, and you know, she's definitely not enrolled in the Cherokee tribe. So the question has been, is this, you know, affirmative action run amok? Is she gaming the system here? Scott Brown was fairly forceful yesterday in a statement coming from in his own voice rather than just the campaign, saying that this seriously calls into question her credibility. Her side has said that this is a distraction and he's trying to deflect from the issues where she has a stronger case to make, according to her side.
132nd Cherokee would be one great-great-great-grandparent, if I got my math right.
Yeah, that's right.
Here's a little bit of what she says. This is just an eight-second clip, but Elizabeth Warren on the origins of this family lore.
This is what my brothers and I were told by my mom and my dad, my mama and my papa. This is our lives, and I'm very proud of it. Thank you.
So if she grew up with this, if we take her at a word that she grew up with this, you know, this is a very powerful thing for any individual who, especially whites in America, who find out that they're 132nd black. I know somebody like that. And it was a very powerful moment. Wow, I have some black blood in me, or 132nd Cherokee. And when you're a kid and you learn this, this could really be a part of your identity formation. So if we take her at her word that that actually happened, what's the issue? Is it that she used it for career gain and then dropped it some point along the way when it wasn't useful to her anymore?
I think that's the view that some have. Charles Fried, who helped recruit her to Harvard and was a solicitor general to Ronald Reagan, although in recent years endorsed Obama, has said this had nothing to do with her hiring. Now, it was mentioned a few years after her hiring in a Harvard Crimson article when the law school was under fire for a lack of minorities. The PR people at the law school directed the Crimson to their Native American faculty member, Elizabeth Warren, and that was sort of the root of breaking this out into the open. Where did that come from? And she has said that she did not use it for getting a job, but she did list herself again in this directory, which is commonly consulted by people in the academic legal community to find people, and it lists her as a minority woman, or at least it did for the better part of the 90s. So that's sort of where it goes, and at this point, I'm hearing from some people on her side saying, why is the media way overplaying this? I'm hearing from some people on his side saying, why is the media not uncovering the full truth of this? So you can see that people are really starting to dig in as to where they stand on this issue.
Which doesn't impact any American's ability to get a job or the things that they're probably mostly running on, so we'll see how much anybody remembers this come November. But I read a reference to Scott Brown in Gail Collins' New York Times column where she says this famous pickup truck of his that made him look all blue-collar and folksy was actually to cart around a show horse. Is that true?
Well, it's funny. That appeared in a New York Times Magazine article shortly after he was elected, where he said offhandedly, well, I'd bought this to tow the trailer around, but it was too much of a pain to get the trailer on, so I just threw my daughter's gear in the back of the truck. So he has recently said that is false. He never towed it around a horse. But you can see sort of some of the issues we're really delving into here in Massachusetts right now in this hot race.
That's right. 1/32nd blood and what somebody used his pickup truck for.
Yeah, we haven't even talked about whether or not his basketball shot, went in on the first try.
But I don't know about this.
That may be for another day.
Last word, Anna Sale, what other national races are New York dollars flowing to?
Oh, well, we have our list on the website again at itsafreecountry.org. And just one other interesting thing to note, Elizabeth Warren and Scott Brown is the race. It's the top of that top 20 list in 2012 for New York money. But also the Sherrod Brown race in Ohio and his Republican challenger. This is Senator Sherrod Brown. Both of those candidates are also in the top 20. So that's a race where New Yorkers are looking to play a role.
And now maybe it will also be Murdoch, not Murdoch, but Murdoch versus Donnelly
in Indiana.
Anna Sale, you can read her article on New York money in these national races at itsfreecountry.org. Noah Bierman, read his politics reporting in the Boston Globe. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Brian Lehren, WNYC, coming up after a break. Alec Baldwin and Robert Kennedy Jr., on fracking.